When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. We do that every Thursday on the program. Chuck Garcia is here today. He's the Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
We want to talk. Start off the conversation this morning about acquisitions and mergers, mergers and acquisitions, M&A. This is something that's been going on like gangbusters in your industry, right?
It has. It's probably been even a little slower than I anticipated. But yes, there's plenty of acquisition, a lot of merger, a lot of talk of further as well.
What's in the talk? Is that because of the interest rate environment?
Well, a lot of things. Yeah, that absolutely is a significant piece. I mean, the big one recently is really not in our area per se, but the same one is the BB&T and SunTrust. It's a significant, two big, strong regional banks coming together. And really, it's just synergies that you can create out of people, systems, technology. And as you noted, I think the interest rate change that occurred here in the last 10 days where the Fed shifted gears and shifted, it looks like they're shifting course. It's put a lot of pressure on banks that were anticipating rate rises, and it's not going to happen, it doesn't appear. So I think that's going to create a different set of dynamics, especially in mid-size and smaller banks where the funding is going to become much, much more difficult.
Take us behind closed doors a little bit at the bank, if you will, because I would imagine, again, with this interest rate thing, you sit down and you put a budget together for the year based on where you think things are going, and then all of a sudden you get that curveball.
It shifted literally almost within 48 hours. You anticipate again two, maybe three rate increases, and we're not only going to not see that, there's talk of that actually going backward and actually lowering rates again. So yes, you're right. Budgets are built off those anticipated rises, both from a loan perspective, also what you price deposits at, perhaps even 60, 90, 120 days ago. That dynamic shifted dramatically, and to the point where 5 and 10 year yields right now are actually inverted. They're actually lower than short term rates.
And let's talk a little bit about the actual process of the merger and acquisition. People want it to be as seamless as possible, but that's not always the case, is it?
It isn't, and it takes time. So, depending on what the acquisition, the merger looks like, I think honestly the toughest are large mergers of equals. Kind of the SunTrust, BB&T. Both are very established organizations. They have really strong product sets, strong people. So trying to marry those two and figure out who, quote, wins in those scenarios can be very, very taxing and difficult. The really, really well-done organizations pick the best of the two, don't debate it really long, and move on with it. Mm-hmm. But it's not seamless and it's not easy. More mainstream kind of smaller bank organizations, ordinarily the larger acquiring organization, they'll embed their product set into the smaller organization because in most cases, it's more mature, has a better feature function. Those have a better way of integrating, but irrespective of that, you boil it down to individuals, into small companies, and it's a difficult integration, and it takes time. It doesn't, just because on acquisition day when it comes live, people expect everything to be funneling and the systems to all operate seamlessly. It doesn't typically happen that way.
How big of a role does the treasury management team, do the treasury management teams have in the process?
It's huge. It's huge. Even in situations, and we've had a couple of these where the book that we're acquiring is predominantly consumer small business. To the degree we have any corporate commercial clients, you have to make it as though they're your client. And so you have to treat it, even if it's, pick the number, if it's 100, 1,000 of those customers, you have to treat it as if they were a large organization because you need to have those clients satisfied and they have to be knowledgeable of what they're getting and how to utilize it.
How often when they get into the process do they find a huge glaring problems that put the brakes on an acquisition or merger?
Not that often. I think due diligence prior to acquisitions, the seamlessness or the openness of most organizations to be able to open the doors to see what you are or aren't getting. It's typically, there's always a surprise along the way, there's no doubt about it, but it's typically fairly minimal in that regard.
If we're going to see some of this pick up, is it something that you see this quarter or in the quarters to come, the latter quarters?
I think in the quarters to come, absolutely. I think it's going to accelerate. And again, I think this impact of this interest rate change is going to be significant to a lot of organizations.
Any organizations that you see would be ripe for being picked up?
You know, none specifically, but again, I think in a certain size of organization, take an $800 million up to $2 billion, $3 billion size organization, it's difficult to continue to make investment in this space. Again, if you're relying upon a rising rate environment, there's more spread to be gained. Today's environment makes it much, much more difficult to stay current.
I want to stay on the treasury management topic because we found this article from gfmag.com about the treasury management systems of tomorrow and how work is being done in places in the U.S. and Europe. Is this one focuses on Europe, about the challenges of not only bringing the treasury management system up to date today, but planning for 10 years down the road. How does that happen in the environment that we're in now?
Well, it's happening here. Certainly, Europe is a bit ahead of us in many, many regards. They are far more advanced in getting rid of the check. In the U.S., the check is still very, very prevalent. However, that's changing. And you hear a lot now of real-time payments. It's a reality. It's going to happen. It's happening today. The larger banks are already in that environment via systems that were built by the large banks to exchange and make real-time payments current. It's going to become much more mainstream in the next 2-3 years. Banks like ourselves and smaller, larger, et cetera, we're building those rails today to be competitive.
This story talks about real-time payments and possibly it leading to the end of batch processing and end-of-day cutoffs. Those are two terms that people in the banking industry probably know pretty well.
Yeah, and it'd be, you know, for those of us that have to live with it, it sounds so positive. It really does. Now, getting there is not easy, but the whole batch processing, both for our clients and ourselves, it's tedious, but it's all built that way today. So transitioning to that is not a simple thing to do, but it's absolutely going to be a much cleaner environment.
And is it going to be a beneficial one for people who adopt it?
I believe it will. So take it all the way to consumer. Consumer is happening today, basically, with the Zelles and the Venmos. Mm-hmm. It's effectively a real-time payment. As it moves into the corporate environment, again, it's happening to some degree today. The benefit there is certainty of dollars. Okay, you know, if you send a real-time payment to company B, it's effectively going to be there in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you're expecting company B to pay you, you can count on that money. So you can take advantage of paying down lines sooner, taking advantage of discounts, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I think it's absolutely going to be beneficial.
On the consumer level, I'm looking forward to being able to pay my mortgage on a Friday, and I'm not having to pay an extra fee. So I'll give you the example. I forgot that my payment, and it was the last day to make it, and I went to the website, and it was a last minute fee that I had to pay, and it wasn't going to post until Monday. Those are things that'll go away, right? Or we hope.
Well, in some degree, it is happening today. You actually, again, I don't want to speak of your organization or bank you use, but it is happening today. You can actually do a same day ACH. So, depending on the time of day, today via the ACH channel, up to $100,000, it will soon be $100,000 per transaction, you can actually make a same-day ACH transaction. Previously, it took 2 days for that, you know, using the batch cycle again, for that to process. But today, in today's environment, banks are able to make that ACH transaction that you're typically using to make that on a same-day basis.
Are the security questions being dealt with properly in your view?
As soon as I say yes, you know, something new pops up. There's always something. I mean, today, email compromise continues to just be absolutely problematic. We had a bank that was bitten by this, a correspondent bank of ours recently, and it all looks real. It all looks like it was a real transaction. It's bogus, and a significant amount of money was lost. So security continues to be a problem for all of us. And, you know, we all have to stay diligent not to click on websites that we don't know about. But security will always, I think, be a concern of ours.
I want to talk a little bit about blockchain. I know we've tried to have this conversation, and we're both learning, I think, about this. But there was a report about how treasury managers have been avoiding blockchain. This article says, like the plague, in quotes. That's what concerns me about this technology, that we have so many people who know how to, that are in this industry, that are worried about it.
Well, I think the connotation of blockchain automatically goes to a cryptocurrency because that's what it's built
off. Like Bitcoin, right.
And so people automatically go, oh, you know, nope, not for me. I believe that blockchain, and again, my depth of knowledge is very, very shallow here, but I believe you're going to see that become much, much more prevalent in the coming months, years. In fact, an organization I'm involved with actually has partnered, and they're using blockchain for a lot of the technological advancements that they're trying to build. So I believe it will become, once it becomes more mainstream and people can associate it with something beyond Bitcoin or the cryptocurrencies, I think you'll begin to see it acknowledged and utilized. Evidently, it can be very effective and efficient.
It feels like it's going to be a generational acceptance, too. Older customers, older consumers are not going to be that quick to adopt it.
I would agree. And in many cases, they won't even see it. It's the technology people that will utilize it, in my opinion, that will take advantage of the benefits that it has. So people like myself don't have to actually see it, but can actually gain the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often like to tell people it's sort of the infrastructure below the system that you're using.
True, yes.
All right. Chuck, how can people get a hold of you if they want to have a conversation one-on-one?
Phone call is always available, 312-544-4346, or you can email me at charles.garcia@associatedbank.com.
Great conversation. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNradio.com, and you can also head over to associatedbank.com/Thought Leadership to hear more conversations and learn more about our thought leaders.